to fear and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home when we, oh, and when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing our God's praise than when we first begun. Praise our God, saints. Oh, and praise God, 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 hallelujah, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise. Sing that again, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, we praise you, God, praise 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 God. Let's give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. We'll just sing that song. I always forget the name of it, but that song, O God of Jacob, amen. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees, amen. How many come to bow your hearts before? Amen. We can either do it willingly now, or when he forces us to do, amen. How many want to do it willingly, amen? With all our hearts, all our souls, amen. Bow before the God, our God, amen.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble.
We turn our eyes.
Oh, we turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols and give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another and give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another, and God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob, and God, let us be generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, we bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes. Yes, my Lord, we turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols and give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another and give us clean hands. Lord, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be, yes, Lord, a generation that seeks your face, oh God. One more time, oh God. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Amen. Give him a round of applause, saints. Amen. Amen. Isn't he worthy? Amen. We don't have any prayer requests, testimony. Just one announcement that we will be having the kids' day on Friday. Amen. After finally getting it nailed down. Amen. I don't think anything else is going on. But on Friday at 7 o'clock at, I think it's like 6:30 at the Kids' Kingdom, over the one over there by the cop place, wherever it is. But it'll be at 6:30 there. Amen. For all the Sunday school children. Amen. Amen. Also, work night. Whenever you get here on Friday, as early as you can. I'll probably be here on 5:30, so if you can make it that early, that's fine. But whenever you can make it, it'll be much appreciated. Amen. And how many have just have need of prayer today? Amen. Say, Lord, I need something from you. Amen. Let me get for the Friday. Come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also, the tithes and the offering.
Answer those as well, oh God. Lord, I humbly ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. We'll just sing a song. I don't know if everybody knows it. Lead Me to Calvary. Amen. It's one of the old songs. Amen. But we just thank God for them old songs. They wrote them with their hearts. Amen. Amen.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Forget thy thorn crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Whoa, lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget. Jesus, lead me to Calvary. Amen. Sing it out. Oh, yes, lest I forget the Gethsemane. Oh, lest I forget thine agony. Oh, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Last verse here. Oh, and may I be willing, Lord, to bear daily the cross for thee, and even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne for me. Well, lest I forget Gethsemane. Oh, lest I forget thine agony. Oh, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. One more time. Oh, lest I forget Gethsemane. Hallelujah. Oh, lest I forget thine agony. Oh, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Oh, yes, just lead me to Calvary. Oh, my Lord, just lead me to Calvary. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Isn't he worthy? Amen. Hey, won't you sing that song, God is so good. Amen. Isn't he good today, saints? Amen. And God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. God, he is so good. He's so good to me. He saved my soul. Well, he sick soul, hallelujah. He saved my sin sick soul, hallelujah. He saved my sin sick soul. Yes, he's so good to me. Oh, yes, he answers prayer and he answers prayer. Hallelujah, he answers prayer. Hallelujah, he answers prayer. And he's so good all to me. Oh, saints, now I love him so. Hallelujah, and I love. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I love him so. For he's so good to. Is he your king? Oh, yes, he is. Oh, now he's king to me. Every day he's king to me. Hallelujah. And he's king to me. He's so good to. Our God is good. Yes, God is so good. Hallelujah, oh God, he is so. Hallelujah, God, he is so good. He's so good
sing that song, light my fire, Lord, let it burn down deep within. Amen. Amen. Light my fire, Lord, let it burn down deep within. And let me feel the breath of the Holy Ghost like a mighty rushing wind. Let the sun shine like high noon. Make my soul your upper rim. Lord, here's my heart's desire. Light my fire, light my fire, light my fire, Lord. Let it burn down deep within. And let me feel the breath of the Holy Ghost like a mighty rushing wind. Let the sun shine like high. Just make my soul your upper rim. Lord, here's my heart's desire. Sing fire, 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 fall on. Hallelujah, fire. Oh, fire fall on me. Whoa, as the day of Pentecost, the fire fall. Hallelujah, as the day of Pentecost, fire. Just light my fire, Lord. Oh, let me feel the breath of the Holy Ghost like a mighty rushing wind. Let the sun shine like high noon. Make my soul your upper rim. Here's my heart's desire. Light my fire. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Light our fire, Lord.
Let's just sing that song, My Sins Are Gone. How many are glad your sins are gone today? Amen. Amen. They're as far as east as from the west. Amen. God can't find them, so don't try to find them yourself. Amen. Amen. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. Where they're at? Oh, yes, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, 'twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart. And now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession. That devil did depart. How many are glad? Oh, yes, my sins are gone. Where they're at? Oh, yes, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Oh, when Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone.
Yes, Lord.
You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me. Hallelujah. I am so glad my sins are gone. Tell that devil where they're at. Oh, they're underneath. Oh, on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. How many are living for Jesus? I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day. Because my sins are gone. Oh, my soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. Oh, yes, they're underneath. Oh, on the cross of Calvary. As
as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. Give him a round of praise, saints. Amen. Just sing that song, I'm so happy, amen. I'm so happy as our pastor would come, Brother Cam, amen. Amen. I'm so happy. How many are happy this morning to be here? Amen. You could be a million miles away from here, saints, but God has given us the gracious gospel to be here this morning. Amen. Amen. And I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, yes, I'm happy, 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 happy. I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, Jesus is a friend of mine. Oh, is he yours? Oh, is he yours? Well, I got joy in my heart. I got peace in my mind. I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Well, Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. So very happy. Oh, yes, I'm happy, 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 happy. Happy, happy, happy. I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, that Jesus is a friend. Yes, my Lord. Oh, is he yours? Oh, is he yours? Well, I got joy in my heart. I got peace in my mind. I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, let me hear you say it. Is he yours? Oh, yes. Well, is he yours? Oh, is he yours? Well, I got joy in my heart. I got peace in my mind. I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, that Jesus is a...
Oh, yes, he's mine. Oh, is he yours? For I've got joy in my heart. I've got peace in my mind. I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. 'Cause Jesus is a friend of mine. Oh, is he yours? Oh, is he yours? Oh, yes, he's mine. For I've got joy in my heart. I've got peace in my mind. I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy. 'Cause Jesus is a friend of mine. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Good to be a child of the King. Amen. Maybe see just for a moment by the grace of God. See all those that were able to press out this morning. Got the kids at camp and got others are out doing whatever. And by the grace of God, it's good to be in the house of God ourselves. Amen. So we appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here this morning. And don't worry, God has a plan. Amen. Sometimes things may look this way or look that way, but don't worry. God has promised his word. Amen? Amen. Can you imagine like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking into the fiery furnace? Oh, God, looks like we're defeated. God had a plan. Amen? So by the grace of God, we just look at the promise. We are a promised people. Amen? Amen. We say, God, I want my faith to be expressed. Amen? So by the grace of God, we just want to give the Lord his preeminence this morning. And this morning we asked Brother Simon to minister. So I haven't heard him preach myself. Actually, it's been years and years since I've heard Brother Simon preach. So I have him this morning and just try to pull in the gift. Let God know that
that you're here. You're still Pentecostal. Got a little Pentecost in you. Amen. And just try to enjoy the presence of God this morning. I wanted to sing a song. It'd be all right. And I think they might have sung it the other day, but I'd like to sing it again in the garden, brother, if you could bring up those words. Find more and more that it comes down to just knowing God, amen. And by the grace of God, we like to focus on what God is to us. He's everything, right? No matter, that's the thing, you know, even last night I was reading a book called Legend of the Falls, or Legend of the Fall, and by the grace of God, I'm finding that this thing is coming down to deceive the elected if possible. But by the grace of God, we will not be deceived. We will not be turn aside from the gospel. We have found this word to be 100% right, and we may not understand everything, but what has been revealed to us is far richer than anything else that we've ever seen in this world, amen? Because this is about the word, amen? Who will stay with the word, and by the grace of God, will stay with the word, right? So maybe we'll just sing about a little garden walk with Jesus. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, in the voice I hear falling on my up a key. Take that down a key. I was like, whoa! Amen. He speaks. That same key, isn't it? Won't take me down one. Can you give me a hand, brother? He speaks and the sound of his voice, that's a lot easier, is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Oh, and he with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. For the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. Oh, and he walks
and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and for the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. Amen. God is a faithful God. Amen. I just told one of the brothers upstairs that things are heating up a little bit. There's some preachers who decided to hold a couple signs up at a gay march, and they got beat up. Amen. Things are beginning to turn, right? They can protest against us, and we protest against them, we get beat up. But we know that we'd have to suffer for righteousness' sake. We'd be blessed if we were, amen. But we understand what this is doing. We're coming down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the scripture says, as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, amen. So by the grace of God, we just want to hold on fast, keep on pressing. And by the grace of God, we'll do our best here to continue to press into the depths of the mysteries of God and to try to get in one accord. Amen. Because even with what we have here, if we could get in one accord today, amen, it'd make the Holy Ghost come down. It'd deliver. It'd reveal. It would open up all things. Amen. Praise God. When Christ descended or ascended to heaven, the scripture says 500 were watching. At the upper room, there's only 120. Amen? Then we find out it comes down to Ephesians, there's only 12 men. Amazing. Praise God. Be of good cheer. We're going to invite our brother Simon up. Maybe we'll sing maybe another song, maybe a faster one. Let's sing that song again. Let's sing that song, I Command My Hands. I command my hands to praise the Lord. 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 Oh, hands, you've got to praise the Lord. Oh, hands, you've got to praise the Lord. Oh, hands, you've got to praise the Lord. Hands, you've got to praise the Lord. My feet, I command my feet to praise the Lord. 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 Oh, feet, you've got 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 to praise the Lord. My mind, I command my mind to praise the Lord. 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 Oh, mind, you've got to praise the Lord. Oh, mind, you've got to praise the Lord. Oh, mind, you've got to praise the Lord. Mind, you've got to praise the Lord. My body, I command my body to praise the Lord. I command my body to praise the Lord. I command my body to praise the Lord.
I command my body to praise the Lord. Oh, body, you've got to praise the Lord. Oh, body, you've got to praise the Lord. Body, you've got to praise the Lord. Oh, body, you've got to praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, brother. Amen.
Well, praise God. Let me turn this thing on. Is that working? Pretty good? Not at all. Okay, good. Well, praise God. I thank God for our pastor's gift. He can not only preach, but he can sing in the Smith household. I think Brother Jesse's probably the only one now that can sing, but Cam's got the voice by the grace of God. We appreciate that. So we'll just get right into the word. I'm not a singer. I do make a joyful noise. That's usually behind a leader there that can sing. So let's dive into the word. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Just do a little Bible study here. I told Brother Cam, you know, if he needs me to help him out or if he gets tired, I'll step up to the plate. And I'm not, definitely don't want to do this and trying to do anything or whatever, but just want to be real reverent, real humble about it. Get a little nervous, whatever. So let's go to 1 Samuel 10, and we'll start at verse 1 here. And I'll just jump to three scriptures, not in order here, but within the same chapter. And then we'll say a word of prayer. Verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head. And we're talking about Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel. And kissed him and said, "It is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance." So here we see Samuel anointing Saul to be king with the oil, right? Verse 6. And now here Samuel's prophesying to Saul. He's the first king, and God gives him a whole lot of word that comes, you know, from the prophet or directly from God through the prophet. Verse 6 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man." Amen. Amen. Start. And next to verse 9. "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass in that day." So let's just bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're just coming up here, God, Lord, just as humble, God, reverent, Lord God, knowing, Lord, any second, God, you could take a life from us, God, or take our own life, Lord. And Lord, just the air we breathe, God, it's just a gift from you, Lord. And Lord, just here, Lord, just if you have a little gift here, God, Lord, we pray you use it, God, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to get out of the way, Lord God, and let you speak, God, Lord. I pray it be a blessing to the people, God, Lord. You gave me a little trail here, God, Lord, but Lord, it takes you to take it, put it together, God, and just make it work, Lord. And we're just asking you to do that this morning, God. Just a little Bible study, Lord, for the saints, Lord, to increase their faith, God, Lord. We'll see that by the end here, God. And Lord, just have your way. Bless the hearers, God, Lord. And we just love you, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated there. So we're just doing a little Bible study here. I was up till 5:30 last night, trying to find the mind of God. Still don't know if I found it, but at least I have something to feed you. But at 5:30 in the morning, anything looks good to eat. So I pray you have grace. We'll pray that God just has his way here. We want to maybe teach you a little something by the grace of God. Something different, not
not exactly the way I thought it would. I had a thought a long time ago. God gave me a scripture, and I had a question. Usually, my Bible studies, I read something, and there's a question mark. And that's usually how it starts. I don't understand something, and I want to understand a little better. So this is kind of how it goes. Sat there till 2 and absolutely nothing. And then at 2, God, however he works, he just kind of started building something for me. So we just want to repeat it back to you. So now kind of the last couple weeks here, the last 2 weeks, God's kind of, I kind of sat there last night and I was trying to find, you know, you want to look for something deep. You want something, you know, that some meat, you know, or could it be some milk or just looking something to give to him. And the last 2 weeks in my spirit, I felt like I took a hit. You know, a sister had quit coming here and I just hurt, really hurt real deeply. And you cared for her and just wonder what wrong, you know, did I do something? Did someone offend her or, you know, what happened and all these things. And I just kind of had a real heaviness about me the last 2 weeks. I probably didn't show it on the outward, but in my heart, it's just hurting, a lot of pain, I'll say it like that. And then then I believe it was Thursday night, Sister Amber, she was telling me about a sister. They're down in Brother LaFontaine's church that we had heard her sing, and she was real young when me and Beth went over to there to hear a sermon or whatever. And she sang a real beautiful song and just had a real gift, had a testimony. She had throat cancer, and God healed her when she was young. And now at that time, you know, 6 years, 5 years ago, she was singing for Jesus Christ. And she just had a beautiful voice and just sang this song. I can't remember the name of the song, but it was just so beautiful. And just something about her struck my heart, you know. Then Sister Amber on Thursday night showed me the picture of her on Facebook and how she had backslid there. And then that kind of really, that just hit me real hard. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of us saints, God, the saints of God, we take our hits, you know, and it's in on the inside and we don't show it on the outside, you know, trying to be strong soldiers for Christ. And we're in Laodicea. We can't be down at all. You know, We gotta stay focused. David, you know, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, that's how we pull from these scriptures and we try to increase our own faith. We try to increase our own strength, Lord. And we see people falling by the wayside, and we know how our old pastor, Brother Brooks, there, and a dear friend of God, in the Lord, and He told us how this year would be a great falling away and how spiritual death would strike the people. And it just really burdened me. And last night I was just, I pulled away from the scripture and just said, Lord, because the last couple Bible studies I've done something that I've been affected with, something I've been dealing with in my life. And I decided to kind of head along these lines, if you will. So I would have the title, As Though Not Anointed with Oil. So, though not anointed with oil. And you'll see by the end here, by the grace of God, we'll be able to tie these things together. We want to look at this. And in 1 Samuel 10, we've seen how the first king of Israel, the man after the people's own heart, here, now, God calls the prophet. The prophet anoints him with oil, right? Amen. Amen. Then the Holy Ghost hits the prophet and gives him prophecy after prophecy here. In verse 6, he says, and the Spirit of God will come upon thee. Verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back, here God gave him another heart, right? So here, man, this looks like it could be the man. This could be the king. This is the great, the new coming king of Israel, right? Absolutely. And now we're... if you weren't to know the scripture, if you're new, fresh, you would say, man, this is going to be a great man of God. This is going to really change the tides, and he's going to lead, and he's going to be a warrior for Christ. He's going to be a soldier like none other. And there'll probably be no one that can stand and fill his shoes when he leaves the scene. Right? Absolutely. These first chapters, the very first steps of Saul, looks like he's going to be the man. Absolutely. This is the one God has chosen over for their hearts. Right? Absolutely. Now, so we're focusing as though not anointed with oil. Let's go to Romans 9. And this is kind of a little different Bible study. It's mostly Old Testament, just a little bit of here, a New Testament scriptures. Just kind of want to get beside myself here. We'll see how it goes. I definitely say if God would not call me to here again, I'd be just fine with that, getting up in here. Romans 9, verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now why would he have this? The great prophet Paul, he has something in his heart, and he calls it great sorrow, great heaviness. And I feel like I've felt just a little bit of that these last couple weeks. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Absolutely. Don't we all wish that in our hearts? That God send me to hell and save these other ones. Or send me, make me foolish virgin and not, but we see God holding us up. But here we see our brothers and our sisters, what in the spirit? Jesus said, who are my brothers, my sisters, my mother, and my father? And he pointed to what? His disciples. Those of the spirit realm, right? We are more family than our natural. That's the Bible, God, honest truth. Absolutely correct. So here, St. Paul is here. He's got heaviness. He's sorrow. Why? Because he wishes that all his flesh, all his family could see this word. All of them could be saved, right? He says, verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, right? Everyone that's heard this message, Brother Cam, Brother Dave, we've been here. Brother Freddie, we know we've been in this a while. We've seen those come and gone. And when they entered into this word, into this message, they've been ordained, or I'll say this, they had the opportunity to what? Receive the spirit of adoption and thereby receive adoption. Absolutely. Amen. Everyone that's heard this word has the opportunity to be the bride of Christ. It's the bride calling. Absolutely. Those, verse 5, those who fathers in whom we concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not Israel, which are Israel. That's right. So not everyone that hears this word is spiritual Israel. The Bible calls us in the New Testament that we Gentiles or the ones that hear this word are now the true spiritual Israel. Right? Absolutely. The old has passed away, and now the new has set in. And is thriving and doing its best to stay alive and to make others alive. Amen. Absolutely. So here we see that within this we can actually let's pull through some scriptures here. The prophet called it the economy of God. Absolutely. So here not everyone's exactly built exactly like you. Let's go to Revelations 22. Now just building a little foundation here. We just want to make everything scriptural, and I do have one quote today. It's my first one I've used, I think, ever in my Bible studies. I still haven't learned how to study from quotes yet, but we'll just press on. Revelation 22, let's start at verse 10. He says, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, showing what? Do not hold the, in other words, the book will be opened at this time, right? And a verse says here in verse 11, for he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, right? It says, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. So here is the economy of God right here. That's right. Some that can what? That have no part in him, and some that have part in him, right? We know who obviously who's holy. You cannot be holy except ye have the Holy Ghost. That's right. And you cannot be righteous unless you have become the righteousness of God. And you cannot become the righteousness of God unless what God has become sin for you and you become his righteousness. That's right. Absolutely. So then we know that they're filthy. And there's unjust, right? We know that's the way of Judas and the way of the lost. Absolutely. So now, let's continue on here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, dealing here with the economy of God. We just want to dive here, touch scriptures here and there. I'm sure if you have like a spiritual mind or if you have a little bit of whatever, you can probably make a bunch of Bible studies out of coming up here what we'll hit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. I read this one before. It says, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, than that which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, if a man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, hay, and stubble, right? Now, here he's dealing with an economy, what? But it's not. He's not dealing with people right here, but he's dealing with what? Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. So here, the economy of God not is only made of people, but of works and of what? Of the word. For if a man comes up here and builds upon the foundation which Paul brought, and on the foundation which the prophet had brought are in this day, you've got to be careful how you build it. You must add, if you're going to add to this or build upon this message, we know the prophet just hit the highlights, and he said the messenger or the ministers that would go before would have to tie the deep and pull the deep things and tie the loose ends together and make it just really live. Absolutely, right? So here, if a preacher is to get here or whatever, a minister, he's got to make sure that, especially on this, you must add thereunto the foundation gold and silver and precious stones, things that are valuable, things that can withstand a fire, that only with a fire only become more pure and more pure and more pure and more holy. Absolutely, right? But we know that in verse 12, he says, there's stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble, those things will be what? Burnt. Absolutely, right. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy here, just to keep things in pace here. We just want to not to bore you, not to lose your attention, but we just want to keep things rolling. Absolutely. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 18, 2 Timothy 2, verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is passed already and overthrown the faith of many, right? That's a false doctrine, went through and it overthrew their faith, right? Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, right? Absolutely. Having this seal, God puts his own seal on his own foundation, right? Absolutely. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, right? Verse 20, but in a great house are we not the building of God, right? Who, what is the church? Are these walls that are falling apart or whatever, or is it the body of Christ? Absolutely, that's right. It says, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Amen. Absolutely. So now we want. Now the scripture is one from what works and the word and doctrines and this. Now it's went to what? The people. And here there's some that are gold. There's some that are silver. There's some that are wood. And some that are earth, right? Some valuable, not so valuable. Some that will have great cost and have great want, and some that have little. Absolutely. Now, let's continue on here. Let's go to Haggai. Chapter 2, verse 8. Hopefully I can find it here. I like this scripture. Haggai 2, verse 8. He says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine. That's right. Saith the Lord of a host. That's right. Is he interested in the wood? Is he interested in the hay and the stubble and all these things? He says, no. He says, but the silver is mine and the gold is mine. We know that gold is what? Pride, right? It is actually equal with Christ as deity, right? We know that silver is what? Foolish virgin. Not exactly. Never reached deity level. I'll say it like this. Equal with Christ, what, with the Holy Ghost. But they have received redemption. When they said, Jesus Christ is my Lord, Jesus Christ was their Lord, and all their sins were forgiven, and they were granted eternal life. Amen. That's right. So God is coming back. He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Absolutely right. Verse 9, and the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and the place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, you thought the book of Acts was powerful. You thought Ephesus, wait till the Ephesus hits this age. That's right. Just like the Bible talks about wine and honey and all these things, these eternal substances, they say. It only gets better and better with time. Correct. Absolutely. What the greater works will be done in this day. Absolutely. They have to be. Now, to continue to back up here, let's go to Psalms 87. Psalms 87. Just seeing the economy of God here, just kind of working with this. Don't know how long we'll go to this morning. Psalms 87 and verse 1. You say you're bride, so does God love you? You know the answer. Verse 1, his foundation is in the holy mountains, right? He says, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion. Absolutely, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Absolutely. So your one gate, the one love of his life, he's worth more than all Israel. Absolutely. That's right. Who is the one he foreordained to love, to make bride, was not Jew or Israel, but the Gentile bride. Why? The Gentiles are built a certain way, and God, what is it? Well, we'll hit that later. Absolutely. So here we see that God loves Israel, correct? Psalms 146, just backing up the silver and the gold. Psalms 146, verse 8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Absolutely. So here we see that God loves not only Zion, the bride, but he loves righteous, the foolish virgin also. Absolutely. All his seed God loves. Absolutely. They're his children. That's his seed line. Absolutely. Amen. Now just kind of trying to build a foundation here. Now, let's go to Proverbs 14. And I was kind of thinking on the economy of God and how some hear the gospel and push on to all the way to the truth, and once they get to the truth, how they stand, and then some, the Bible says, will fall away. What causes that? What are some of the aspects, or what some of the keys that play in there that deal with the one falling away from the gospel? Proverbs 14, verse 14. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, right? And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So here a backslider, what is a backslider? A backslider has gotten away from the word of God. They have, I'll say it like this, the bride will press on and press on, and they'll take another step, and they'll take another step, and they will march right into the rapture, right? They'll march right into glory. But here we see a backslider, but they have actually gone and done their own things. They have gone and done their what? Own ways. They've taken, and there's a reason, and we know a reason for this is obviously the lack of the Holy Ghost, right? Because how many of here hold themselves up every day? Anyone here that says, my own strength have held me up, my own ability, my own will. No, not one. That's right. That's why you have to have the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you will take your own way. We see what? These people falling away. We see everybody just falling by the wayside. And what? What do you do? They have to get the Holy Ghost just like you do. Amen. Just like you did. Right? Absolutely. Amen. Hosea 11. Hosea 11. Just a little Bible study. Just want to hit a couple of things. We just want to continue on here. Hosea 11. I just kind of like going through scripture, and that's just how I was taught, and that's just how I teach. So that's what we want to do here. Hosea 11, verse 6. Hosea 11, verse 6 says, and the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backslide from me, though they called them to be the most, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. So what is one reason why one may backslide? They were called to Christ, but they would not exalt him as their Lord, right? Absolutely. They'll talk Jesus all day. They'll talk message all day. But who's running their life? Absolutely. Are they doing the things they want to do? Or every decision they make, is it them making the decision? Or is it the Holy, just Lord, lead and guide my decisions? Lord, you open the doors. You close the doors, Lord. Whatever would have, God, we just want your perfect will, right? Absolutely. Remain neutral in every situation. We want the perfect divine will of God, right? We don't want to have our own thoughts in anything. Amen. That's right. Now, let's go to Hosea 14, verse 1. And Brother Cam, if I say anything wrong, just correct me after service there. I want to throw that in. I know you will. Verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You know what? Now here we see another fallen. Israel has fallen, what? Backslide, right? By thy what? Own iniquity, right? Getting away from God, not making him number one. And now because they of iniquity, which is, what is iniquity? Knowing to do right and not doing it, correct? Amen. Absolutely. Amen. That's right. And reward us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Ashur shall not save us. We will ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fathers findeth mercy. Verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. Saints of God. It's possible God can bring these back. Don't ever give up on no one. We don't know the end, and we sure don't know the beginning like Christ, right? We are finite, right? Don't ever count no one out, right? Absolutely. We still have to, though they may have fallen by the wayside, we still have to hold them and say, Lord, I believe you can bring them back. If here in the Old Testament, God says, I can heal their backsliding, how much more the bride of Christ? How much more the ones he's already redeemed? This is before redemption. And now after redemption, how much more? You know, we just witnessed that 2 weeks ago. Brother Bill. God bless him. Praise God. Amen. He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Absolutely. They don't have to do a thing. Just come on back, honey. That's right. Just come right here. I'm your husband. You're my wife. That's exactly how God wants to deal with these people. Absolutely. How much we've all backslid. Though we've continued, by the grace of God, we've continued to come to church. We've continued to hear the word of God and amen and this and that. We backslid all the time. Absolutely. What? We just keep on pressing. We just keep on marching. That's right. When I get tired, when I was climbing up that mountain, we just had to have somebody push you on up. That's right. Brother Freddie, get behind me. Put a little fire behind me. Do whatever. You know, help me. That's right. Absolutely. Sometimes maybe that's what these people need. A little encouragement, a little bit of love. Absolutely. And I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Mine anger is turned away from him. Someone you may see out there, God might not even be mad at them yet. Something bad may happen to them. They're just reaping what they're sowing. They might not even be mad at them. It's just their own the law of God. When God set this law, now you're in control. If you do bad, you're going to get bad. You do good, you're going to do good, right? Doesn't mean God's mad at you. You reap what you sow. That's right. Me too. Amen. That's right. Praise God. We just want to hit that. Dealing with the backslider, the economy of God, all these things, right? The foundation, how to build on. And there's gold and there's silver, right? All these things. One looks just as good as the other. One's worth a lot more than the other, right? All these things, right? Just as shiny as one. And okay, so why are we seeing all this, right? All this backsliding and a great falling away and deadness in the church and stiff and starchy and all these things. Why, you know, so let's just turn to it here. Let's go to Malachi 4. Now, I understood, I can pretty much explain every scripture in Malachi 4 except one. And that's where I was kind of, this is kind of where the Bible, this little study here came from. Taught Bible studies for years and years, heard sermons for years and years in the message, and never heard anyone really kind of touch on it yet. But I just had a little question here. Now Malachi 4, if you actually look at Malachi 4, this is the end of the New Testament, and yet it's at the end of the Old Testament. So, can we do away with the Old Testament? No. It's still happening. The process is still happening, right? It's amazing how God had, in the Old Testament, all the New Testament was hidden in the Old Testament right there. Just by this one chapter right here. Just, I'll say this, just one, this one chapter, everything we've heard, the message, the Gentiles and dispensation and the seals and all things were hidden right here in Malachi 4. Just took a what? The Word of God to open up. That's right. The seal, the book had to be loosed, right? And once it's loosed, brother, sister, what do you want to know? What would build your faith today? Right? Absolutely. That's right. We must search out, you know, the ministers, right? Brother Cam, Brother Craig, Brother Randy, Brother Jesse, Brother Brooks, all them saints of God, dig into the Word and pull out and give you the things no one's ever heard, the things no one's ever seen. Amen. God bless their gifts. Amen. Now, Malachi 4, verse 1. We know what? This is the coming of the Lord. This is, in God's eyes, just seconds from eternity right now. We rest. Though the things we see, the persecution we see, may be months, maybe a couple years down the road, however it works out, we're that close. We really, Brother Cam, seeing finally persecution from the, and we've seen it before, but persecution from the homosexual, and there'll be persecution from the religious next. Absolutely. Verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, right? This ain't John the Baptist's day, this is our day. It says, and all the proud, yea, and all the do wickedly shall be as stubble. Who are those? That's not gold and silver, right? That's wood and hay and stubble, right? Amen. And all the do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch, right? They are finished. Verse 2. Understand all this. I understand these things. I can place them in the Scripture. I know what... Right. Verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. What? Saints of God going to church, eating the Word of God, drinking the thick milk. I say this, that's got enough you can make butter with it. Got enough fat in it, you can make all these things, right? This ain't no skim milk. This ain't no homogenized. This is pure, straight from Mama Cow, right? Absolutely. Verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, and this shall I do, saith the Lord of hosts, right? We know that's talking about what? The millennium, when the saints of God, the bride, come back with, right? Just, I know this is all rehearsed or whatever. You've heard it before. But here's a scripture I wondered on. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. Now he's telling this to our day, right? I was like, what is this? I didn't understand this. And remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Arab, for all Israel with the statutes and judgments, right? So he just throws in this little thing. Jesus Christ just throws this little thing in here. He says, talk about go. He said, remember, right? Put in remembrance the law of Moses, which I commanded him, right? And then verse 5, we go into the prophet and coming back and all these, right, the Word of God and all these things, the fathers and the children and fathers, right? But before that, he hits the Old Testament. He says, remember what I told them in Arab, right, through Moses. So I want to kind of dive into this. And Big Dave, if you could bring up that quote now here. I don't know if you got it. There we go. So we looked up Horeb, right? And I found one quote the prophet said, or kind of, I'll tell you this, dealing with this, with this scripture, I'll say it like that. It says, now we find out that along this road, they got like this. They come to a place of Horeb. And H-O-R-E-B sounds, it still has five letters, still grace. Even what, in Horeb, which is, we'll find out what it is. He says, Then we find out, let's break that name down. That's where the name Hor means what? A dry place or a desert, correct? So here God is prophesying Malachi 4 at the end of the Old Testament, that in the end of the New Testament, that it would be a dry place. Absolutely, right? People trying to receive the word, trying to drink the goodness of the word of God into their what, and let their spiritual body grow, feed the Holy Ghost. What? But we see it's a dry place. And when we get out of the fellowship with one another in the church, that's part of it. You, Brother Cam, we talked about a little bit. He says if you notice people who don't fellowship with the church, they fall away. Right. Jesus said what? Or the Bible says what? Come together all the more when you see the day coming, right? And when we get out of the fellowship with one another in the church and out of the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it brings us to a dry place, a desert, nothing alive. Everything got stickers on it, see? A desert. Absolutely. A little piece of cactus with that sticker on it. Did you know what that is? Big Dave, next. Thank you. That's a precious little tender leaf that hasn't had no water. That's right. Go and try and win these souls back. Try these backslide, whatever. They'll hit you right now and get defensive and hoot. And when you see somebody like that, maybe it's a precious soul that could have been watered right. Would have been a tender little leaf or something, but instead of that, it wound itself up till it's a sticker, right? Just punching at everything, you know, finding fault. Only thing it needs is just water. But remember, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. This is where it comes to an individual affair. You can sit within this church, but if you do not receive the word of God the way it's preached, and by the grace of God, we believe it's all right so far. But if you do not drink that water, you will dry up. Absolutely. In other words, if you don't put faith in what was being preached and you do not receive it, you will dry up. Absolutely. And what? You'll find yourself in Horeb, right?
Good.
That's all. It just needs a revival or breaking up, a refreshing from the Lord. It'll unfold this little self and you'll just put it in the water, if you'll just put it in the water. Amen. That's right. The bad thing is you can't take somebody and make them drink. That's the worst thing. Thank you, Brother Dave. If you want to take that down, that's fine. That's the worst thing about it is each person, it's an individual affair between every man and God. You can do this and you can help them here. You can make a difference. You can try and use fear and all those things in Jude. But if they won't drink, they'll die out. Absolutely. Now, praise God. Now, here in Malachi 4, verse 4, it says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him, and Horeb, all the Israel, and all the statutes of judgments, right? So now, just like the scripture says, Jesus said, he says, as it'll be in the days of Noah, as it'll be in the days of Lot, and you have the eating and drinking, those real vague things. If we want to get down to see exactly what he's talking about, we actually have to go back into the scripture and see and do a little digging. So let's head that way to Exodus 3. What took place in Horeb? What took place in there that we need to know or to remember? I'll say it like that, to bring to remembrance. Things that we have to keep on the top of our minds, on top of our heads, that we can, so we don't miss this thing. I'll say it like that. Now, I want to hit a couple instances where God dealt with Moses and the children of Israel at Horeb, right? Verse 1, Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So the same place where the Ten Commandments came from, the same place God came down in a dark cloud and burnt the living tar out of the top of that mountain, that same place where they did all the sacrificing, the same place where Moses threw the Ten Commandments, was the exact same place Moses met the pillar of fire, right? Amen. The burning bush, absolutely, right. Now we want to, so we see this is a place of significance, right? We know that if when they came uh, to Kadesh Barnea, when they came out of Israel, went there, they should have went over and possessed the land, but now when they rejected it, what? Now this is, I'm think spiritual this day too. They should have went, they should have made the rapture. The rapture should have already came and gone. This thing should have, what? But they wandered around in the desert, going in circles and seeing their own paths, and they've been before, and just wandering around, drying up, right? Absolutely. And God put them in a dry place. That's the second Exodus. Third Exodus is a dry place also. Amen. Now, let's go to Exodus 17 here. We'll see how far we get. I don't want to hold you too long, but I don't want to go too fast either. Exodus 17. Hope it's a blessing. Just to keep your, stay focused here. Just stay with me here, and maybe the Lord will open something up for you here by the grace of God. Exodus 17, verse 5. And the Lord God said unto Moses, go before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand thee before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. So here, not only all these things, but here, not only, but that the water itself, which took away the dryness, was also in Horeb. Absolutely. All these miracles and signs and communion with God and all these great things of Moses took place near this mountain, right? And thou shalt smite the rock, and it shall come, there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now what's the type for this day? In the Old Testament here, they had to actually smite the rock, right? But now, in our day, what? The rock has already been smitten. We just have to speak to it. When our pastor comes up here and he reads the Bible and he says, Lord, just open up the Word of God. Just speak to us tonight. He's a type of Moses saying to the rock, gush out that water. Absolutely. And if you don't drink, you're going to die. That's right. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 4. So we know a lot of these great things took place in Horeb and whatever. But remember, when you go to Malachi 4:4, it says, remember the things which I have commanded thee. Not an act or not a sign or a wonder, but commandments that took place right there, right? Yeah. And Christ actually opens up a little key throughout here. Deuteronomy 4. Let me get to it. I'm sorry. Taking too long here. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. And I'm just hitting highlights here. I'm sure people can go through and really, but I didn't have a whole lot of time here. So Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your Father giveth to you, right? So he's telling them, go into the land and take it, right? And ye shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, right? Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I have commanded you, right? Absolutely. So now here we find they are ready to, Moses had been rejected from not speaking to the rock, but smiting it twice, right? And now he has been rejected and said, and God said, you have been, I'll just paraphrase, but he tells him along in this book of Deuteronomy, he says, you've been around this mountain long enough. He says, head northward, right? They need to enter this land. The time is now. You've been, and there's a reason, obviously, for that. But here he says, remember these words, the judgments, the statutes, possess them right where, and we'll continue on here. Now, let's go to verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, right? Amen. When the Lord said unto me, gather me people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days, that they may live upon the earth, that they may teach their children, right? And they came near and stood upon the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of the heavens, and darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Absolutely, right? So here he's. So here God is using Moses, and he said, he's take hearken unto these words. Don't forget these things, these commandments, these statutes. He said, what? He says, you teach them to your sons and to your daughters that they may not turn away from this and give yourself fully to it, right? Absolutely, right? Because what? They're about ready to head to the promised land.
Amen.
And in the promised land, you need all of God.
Amen.
To be away from God, to backslide to God at that time, meant what? Death. Achan, right? Sure, that's right. Now, let's go to Haggai 2. Kind of just dealing here. We're going to touch a little bit here. Just throw a little something in here. Haggai 2. Remember where we read, he says, and the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, right? Let's go up a little bit more, right? Verse 4, Haggai 2, verse 4. He says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. And the saints of God that's been here, we know Zerubbabel means what? To disperse confusion, right? And there's only one that can do that, and that's the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Ghost and you're trained and discerned, and you can discern good and right from wrong and good from evil, you're not far from the kingdom. I'll say this. At that time, the kingdom's within you. Absolutely. That's right. Said, oh, amen. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and the work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here we go, verse 5. According to the word which I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remained among you, fear ye not, right? So here the Spirit remained with them as they came out of Egypt, just like with Saul. He was anointed with oil. The Spirit came on him, and he became a new man, right? As they came out of Egypt, the Spirit was among them. They were anointed for what they had to do, right? Amen. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what's he talking? He says, verse 5, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not, right? So what it say in the church ages, whenever it says fear not, there's a great battle or a great opposition ahead. There's a great conflict, a great confrontation ahead, right? Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, right? And I will shake the heavens and the earth, right? And the sea and the dry land, right? Absolutely. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. What? The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, right? What was this? He says, yet once, verse 6, it is a little while. What is that? The first coming of Jesus Christ. He came and he shook all heaven, he shook all earth, and he changed the face of the world. 2,000 years later, now with people who still believe and are still being filled with the Spirit, with the man that died on a cross 2,000 years ago, it changed the world, right? And by that change, he was able to take what? The gold and the silver. That's what he came for to do, right? Hay and stubble, he'll have no part in him, right? Absolutely. But he came for this. Yet once in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, correct? Absolutely. And the glory of this, of the latter house, shall be greater than the former. I'll say it in a way. This right here, our day will be more glorious than Christ's day. Why? Christ had sinless flesh. And Christ will use us like himself with sinful flesh, correct? What a miracle that is. Now let's go to Hebrews 12. Just do a little Bible study here. Wanna dive into it. This is kind of taking a little rabbit trail out, then I'll head back on the regular trail here. Hebrews 12, verse 12. And my little topping here in my Bible says, warning against disobedience. Amen. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way. but let it rather be healed, right? Lame, those that can't walk the walk, they're what? Backslid, they're broken, they're hurt. He says, let it rather be healed, right? He said, Jesus said what? Or God said in the Old Testament, I will heal the backslider. Absolutely. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without no man shall see the Lord. Right? Now here. Let's go to verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burnt with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. But there shall not endure which was commanded. In other words, the message we've heard, they could not endure the word. The Bible says there'll be a time where they cannot endure sound doctrine, right? Absolutely. They won't even stick with the simple, basic word of God. Love God, receive the Holy Ghost, win souls for Christ, all these things, just basic. Feed the Holy Ghost within you, right? Read your Bible, pray. There's a time where they will not do that, and they'll not want to. Verse 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Ye are come unto Mount Zion. not Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, but here he says, you've come unto Mount Zion, right? And unto the city of the living God. That's right. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. Right? Amen. That's all born-again believers. Correct. Absolutely. Which are written in heaven. That's right. And to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Right? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. In Moses' day, if you rejected Moses' words, you were done. God would tell Moses, separate yourselves. And something's going to happen. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. What? The word. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, who was speaking? Moses was, right? Was the Holy Ghost in Moses? No. But now, you spiritual Jews, listen to men who speak with the Holy Ghost. How much more dangerous is this? Absolutely. My. For if they escape not who refused that spake on earth, much more shall not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. How do you know when you're in a service and you hear the Holy Ghost speaking? You better check it. Absolutely. You better be able to feel the Spirit. You better be able to eat that word and know it's right. If there's a buzzer, you know something's wrong. But if there's no buzzer, you better eat it. Amen. That's right. Verse 26. Whose voice? The voice of those that are preaching within the bride. Right? Whose voice then shook the earth. But now, he saith, but now hath promised, saying, yet once more, he says, I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So when Christ came, he shook it once. He says, but what? There's coming again. And he's bringing the word of God. And he's packing the goods, right, as the prophet would say. And everything you need to hear, everything you need to know to get out of this place and make this rapture will be supplied through the word of God. Absolutely right. And through what? The man of God who is what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Right. Because what? The man of God who is filled with the Holy Ghost will yield to the Holy Ghost and let him speak. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right. And then it's up to each individual one here whether they will receive and drink that water, right, and leave Horeb. That's right. Amen, and may prosper even in Horeb. That's right. Amen. Yet once more I shake the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, he says, and this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, though that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So what's the whole point here? Why are people falling away and this and that? God's shaken everything. And if you can be shaken, you'll fall. But if you cannot be shaken, you will stand on the word of God. And God will make sure you don't fall. Absolutely. But we must have our roots grounded deep. Absolutely. That's right. Amen. Showing what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whereby, verse 28, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For what? For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Absolutely. Now, that was kind of just dealing with Horeb there. Now, let's continue on here to Deuteronomy. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 5, and we'll see exactly what was said here in Deuteronomy or in Horeb here, and we want to look at it. Many great things said in here, but what is the thing that he wants to keep in remembrance? I'll say that. And I'll say this. I don't have a full revelation of this, but what I was had the time I spent on it, I will teach it how I received it, okay? I'm sure there's a lot more there. I'm sure you can get many revelated men up here and just blow this out. So let's go to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. Now, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel, right? He's actually rehearsing things. They're at Horeb again, and they're about ready to head over to the promised land, and Moses is rehearsing things before he goes off the scene. In other words, this is his 1,000 sermons right here, and they had to feed off what he said right here. Verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments that I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them, right? Malachi 4:4. And the Lord, verse 2 of Deuteronomy 5, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb, right? So he made a covenant, right? Now he's talking about verse 3. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even as we are all who... Wait, sorry about that. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, who with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Absolutely. So there is a covenant that was made with the very first fathers and daughters and Moses when they first came out of Egypt. God gave them a covenant. And what was that covenant? Verse 7. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt make any of these graven images. It was law. So here God gives them a law, right? And what was the backslider? They can't live by the word of God. They can't live by it. They can't take it. They cannot receive it, right? This was the water for the day, but we know by the law it just killed them. It just condemned them, right? So, and the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us even, right? And then here he goes into what was given to on Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. He goes into the Ten Commandments, right? Verse 21, the end of it says, Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house or his field or his manservant or his maidservant or his ox or his ass or anything that is in thy neighbor's, right? Correct. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire and of the cloud and the thick darkness, and with a great voice, and he added no more. Right? If you go back to where this actually took place, he gave the Ten Commandments, and then he went into ordinances. And he went to the ways to live, and this and that, and how these things, right? He didn't add anything more, any more commandments than that, right? But now, as they're venturing in and heading into the promised land. It's in recorded Malachi that we remember these things, right? But here they're at Horeb 2, and he's reviewing what was given before. But there was I'll say this, a covenant made that was not made with the original, that was made with the latter. That's right. Now, let's see here. And he wrote in them two tables of stone. So, let's go to Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Trying to keep you rolling here. Oh that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. So here God is telling Moses, I've given him the Ten Commandments in the early on, and here now we're rehearsing it again here in the later. He said, but I wish they would just keep them, and they could live it, and they could do all these things. And, you know, but then he gives them, I'll say this, And he gives them a key on how to do this. But I'll tell you, you can have the key, but if you don't have the person holding the key, it won't do no good. Right? But he at least gave them the key how to get there. Let's go to chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now he just gave them the Ten Commandments, and now here we see, he says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments that the Lord God hath commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So here, these promises, this covenant right here, these commandments was not given to the original. So here, from here on, is all brand new. From here on is where you have to catch up. There's a, you're sure you have this old stuff, but now here's something greater. But there's, but within this new stuff, there's the key on how to keep the old stuff. Amen. That thou might go in the land whither ye go to possess it. Now verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's sons, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Right? Sure, that sounds great. Absolutely. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that they may be well with thee, that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey, right? There was a time in the New Testament, I believe it's Matthew 22:34 through 40. Brother David, if you want to pull that up. Hold your place here. Matthew 22. Actually, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he put the Sadducees aside, they were gathered together. This one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying him, Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Correct? Absolutely. This is the first and great commandment. My goodness. And the second is likened unto, thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself. Brother, on these two commandments of the law, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So they asked Jesus, they said, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest thing ever told to us? They were still in the Old Testament at that time. They were still under law at that time. Christ had not died. Did Jesus go back to the original, the law in Oreb, when they first came out of Egypt and said, thou shalt have no other God. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. No. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Absolutely. So what is the key to the promised land? This ain't a desert experience where we have to live under a law. Thou shalt. If you read thou shalt, show me where it says love one time. It's not there. Now it's a law, and but then God changes it to what? A law of love. That's right. And God said, if you would just... Now, what's the key to fulfilling the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Is if you love Christ. If you just love Him and just adore Him, and that all your mind is thinking on Him, your heart is just compassed with Him and just wants and yearning for Him, right? That is the key to fulfilling the whole Old Testament. Absolutely. And thou shalt love the Lord God, and these words which I command these days shall be done in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. When you raise up your children, you must love Jesus Christ with all your heart, right? We know that in the New Testament it says you put Christ first, you put Him first, all these things will be added on to you, right? He's looking for His love. A one that would love Him, one that would love Jesus Christ more than any other, right? More than that would love God, absolutely. So what is the key? What is the thing to remember when on the Mount of Oreb is that you would just love Jesus Christ with all your heart. Everything hangs right on that. You will fulfill every Old Testament law if you just love Jesus Christ. Absolutely. But remember, At this time, they still had not received the Holy Ghost, so they could not live it. Yes, Lord. Oh, my. Verse 7, they shall teach the diligently to the children and talk with them, and thou shalt sit in thine heart and when house, and when thou walkest by the way, thou liest down, thou risest up. Absolutely. So in other words, or he says, teach them to the children, talk about them when thou sittest in thy house. When thou walkest by thy way, talk about them. What were the two in Emmaus talking about them, right? Absolutely. And thou liest up, and when thou risest up. In other words, your whole life should be consumed and talking and living and thinking and breathing Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And thou shalt bind them a sign upon thine hand, and thy shall be as frontless before thy eyes, between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Absolutely. Now, for the sake of time, actually, brother, I think I'm past your 1:15. Sorry. If you want to read the rest of these next two chapters, you'll see the rest that God commands you to do. But the greatest is to love the Lord God with all your heart. Absolutely. Now, why would he put that in Malachi 4? Obvious. If you don't love Jesus Christ by this day and in this church and in this word, you're lost. You got an issue. Absolutely. But he says, but remember, to love the Lord God with all thy mind, with all thy heart. Remember what was like this? We said how Christ came the first time, yet once. And then the second time, yet once more. Samson, once more, Lord. Right? Absolutely. But what, Samson sold out his love to what? Women and not to the word of God, but he gave his strength. But there is coming a body of Christ. There's coming a body that what? Will give all his body and his heart to Jesus Christ all the way, fully. Absolutely. Now I'm kind of going to switch gears here. I've got about 15 more scriptures here. I'll try and make them fast, but hopefully you see something here because this is, I kind of like this right here, what we're going to hit here, okay? Something exciting for me. Something I've never seen before, just kind of exciting, just like it. But it's all real simple, all dealing with Holy Ghost, all dealing with the love of Jesus Christ, all dealing with, let's go to 1 Samuel 10, back to the beginning. Remember the title, as though not anointed with oil, right? Yeah. Amen. I hope it's a blessing to you. We just want to stay on the Word of God. Absolutely. Verse 1. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is not it because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over the herald? So here's, once again, Saul anointed. Verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Verse 9, and he gave him another heart, right? Absolutely. And he became what? Another man. Remember, Saul was a type of foolish virgin. He looks good. He looks really good. Now, let's go to verse 8. And I've touched this a little in my Bible study before, okay? I went through this just dealing with our day, the 7th. Verse 8. But when here the prophet Samuel was anointed, he started telling the future and he was telling things that were going to happen, right? And here in verse 8 he says, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings. And to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come unto thee and show thee what thou shalt do. Right? So here's a direct prophecy. It says, boy, when you end up in this spot, you know what to do. I've told you what to do. So when you get here, you just wait on me. Right? This is going to happen, and you just stick with the word. This is a commandment. Right? Now, what's the key to obeying the commandments? Love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's right. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel 13. And we see what takes place. We went through this one of the last Bible studies, or three Bible studies ago. Verse 8. 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. And he tarried there 7 days, right? Saul came up and found himself in the very position where Samuel said he was going to be. He finds himself here, and he waits 7 days, exactly what God told him to do, right? But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Verse 9, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. He offered a burnt offering, right? And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel said, Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. He thought he did absolutely nothing wrong. He was justified in his heart, right? even though he knew he did not complete or keep the commandment of the word of God. Sorry. Verse 11, and Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed." And the Philistines gather themselves here, right? So he bypasses the prophet, what the word of God came through the prophet. He bypasses the commandment, right? Verse 13, and Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever," right? He said, because you broke this commandment, because you failed to continue on the word of God, you waited the 7 days, but you should have waited a little bit longer. But what, you forced yourself to commit something you should not have done, right? Verse 14, but now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought of him a man after his own heart. What was the difference between Saul's heart and David's heart? David loved the Lord God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, with everything he was, right? And we see this man was not. And he was what? A type of Israel. He was Israel's choice. Amen. Now, sorry, I'll try and speed this up here. 1 Samuel 15. So that's the first strike. At that time, the kingdom was rent, and he says, and the prophet tells Saul, there's another one coming. You're going to lose this, right? Strike one. Men give people three strikes. God sometimes give them one or two. That's right. 1 Samuel 15. Verse 1. Samuel said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and how he came from Egypt," right? Now here's the commandment of the Lord through the prophet. The prophet says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. They slay both man and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass, right? So here he's telling Saul, when you go to take on Amalek, destroy it all. Absolutely wipe it out, destroy it, have nothing to do with it. That's a direct commandment of God, right? And now we see Saul's character acting up again. Verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of Amalek, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword, right? But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroyed everything. So here we see he directly disobeys the commandment of God twice now, right? Amen. That's right. Verse 10, and then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repented me that I have been set up the king, set up Saul to be king." Now here's Samuel. The word of God wakes him up, or whoever comes to him and says, he says, "I repented that I made him king, and I'm taking him down," right? He says, "You go tell Saul everything I tell you," right? Absolutely. Verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou, the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." So here Saul disobeys twice, and then he lies about the second one. Covering up, right? Sin after sin, heaping upon each other, getting worse and worse, just like the man in the Gadareans, right? Absolutely. Samuel said, "What meaneth this, the bleeding of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I have heard," right? Verse 17, and Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head over the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel," right? But when he failed to do all these things, God actually rent the kingdom from him right there, right? And now he is done. He is totally, as we say, what? Backslid. He was anointed. He got a new spirit. He was a new man, right? And here now, the anointing comes off of him, and now he starts fading away. He's backslid. He's dying, right? He becomes all dried up. David tries to play the harp, and that little leaf that was on Saul one time all shriveled up, and now it's a sticker, right? And David playing the harp, and now he even sticks David playing the harp, right? Or tries to stick him, and all these things, right? He's just all shriveled up. He's in awe of us like that. Now, Let's continue on here. Just a little bit more here. We'll continue on here. 1 Samuel 28. And we knew at this time that the very last battle Saul came, he sought the prophet. The prophet had died. He went to the Urethurum. They would not speak to him. He prayed, whatever, fasted, whatever. He could not get anything from God, right? So he goes to the witch of Endor, and he asked her to bring up old Samuel. Samuel comes up. Verse 16. 1 Samuel 28, verse 16. And Samuel said, "Wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy," right? "And the Lord hath done this to him, and he has spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even unto David." So here at his death, he actually reveals the person to take his spot. Even though I believe that Saul all along see this young man rise up who what? The Spirit of God was upon, and he knew it had departed from himself. Here's the what? The foolish virgin and the bride, right? Coming at the end time, right? They're going to see this. The true and the false will be those without and those with will be made manifest, absolutely. Yeah. It's coming down to this point, right? He says, verse 18, he says, "Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing upon this day," right? So the whole point of the whole thing was what? If you just would have obeyed me. Right? If you just would have obeyed me, and we know by the key to the Old Testament, if you just would have loved me and done, the love would have forced obedience. You know, the love would have just came. The obedience would have came with the love, right? Absolutely. Now, let's go to next scripture here. 1 Samuel 31, Saul's death. And Saul's death, actually, if what we're going to go through is the scriptures here, impacted David so much. David was a type of what? Christ or the bride. Saul was a type of foolish virgin, right? But there was so much love of in David's heart for Saul and David actually examined how Saul and Jonathan came down and how it went. And you actually see through the rest of the scripture we're going to hit how it affected him, how it impacted him. Amen. And he actually strengthened himself by seeing these two die, or these three die, or four, or whatever. He actually strengthened himself. We'll see it. 1 Samuel 31, verse 1. "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down, slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines fouled hard upon Saul and upon his sons," right? "And the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, and that other son, Saul's son. And the battle went sore against Saul." Now look at this. "And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers," right? He was sore wounded of the archers, right? Now we know David was actually the one that went and took the bodies and recovered them, and he went and buried them and burned them under the tree or whatever and buried them and took them back in the promised land, because they were what? The anointed of God. They were God's seed line, right? Samuel said, "You'll be with me tomorrow on this time," right here. That's right. Now let's look when David actually hears about the death, right? Very beautiful. 2 Samuel 1, verse 17. "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son." When you see these people backslide, when you see these people lose strength and fall back, remember, they're still seed of God. Don't give up on nobody. Remember, not everybody's built like you are or like they are. Some are built strong. Brother Bram even talked about how there was two sisters, and one could take some heat and one couldn't. One backslid, went insane. The other one is what? She was just stronger. Is it any glory to us? No, absolutely not. Verse 17. "And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son." Look at verse 18. "Also he bade them." Now who is David king over at this time? Oh, it's like this. Very shortly here. or directly after the death, he became king of Judah. He also bade them teach the children of Judah to use, or say this, he doesn't tell them to use it, but the use of the bow. Right? How did he die? By the archers, by the bow. Right? And this stuck with him. This meant something to him, right? He learned from it because what? He knew he, remember, we don't hold ourselves right up, right? If I fall by this, you could fall by that too. And if you fall by that, I could fall by that too. We must learn from these things. Keep our open areas covered. Keep all the weak spots, build them up, right? Absolutely. He also bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Asher, right? Now he remembers he teaches them Judah. And then now look how he looks back upon the life. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? He calls the foolish virgin. He calls those that couldn't hang in the word, that failed to receive the Holy Ghost. He calls them mighty. Because you know what? They were fighting the same demons as you and I. And yet they did not have the strong man. God have mercy. They tried to take on the exact same lust demon. They tried to take on the same hatred demon. Or all the great ones. Remember, these demons came out in our day out of your Euphrates, right? Saul never seen these demons. And here are the foolish virgin or the ones that fall back, or who, I'm not calling anyone, but I'm saying if someone fails to miss it, they're actually fighting demons they have absolutely no shot at conquering. They have no chance. Why do they fall back? They don't have a chance unless they receive the Holy Ghost. That's right on. Absolutely. Verse 21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew. Neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. What's the only thing that can stop an arrow? The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. That's right. If the anointing of God would have been upon him, right? Now I'll go back to that. Verse 22. From the blood of the slain to the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. They were warriors. They took on the exact same things we do. They did this and this and this. Absolutely. They tried to live as best they could. Absolutely. Without the Holy Ghost. He says, they were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Absolutely. They even may have caught on the anointings of the day. Eagles and lions. They had the anointings of the day, but without the anointed one within them, they could not have done it. That's right. My goodness. That's right. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with the delights, who have put on ornaments and gold. How these people, these ones that we've known for the last 10 years that have come and gone, how nice they were to you. You know that we'll receive a reward for that. It's called eternal life. Yes, Lord, that's right. How mighty are the fallen in the midst of battle. O Jonathan, thou hast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, right? What a heaviness, a sorrow. Absolutely. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love was more wonderful, passing the love of women. Absolutely. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Absolutely. So we see how they work. We're seeing how these things are coming down, but look how David says he remembers the bow when he taught about the art of the bow and how Saul's shield would not hold up to it, right? Even though he had been anointed, but it was as though he had not been anointed, or says it had been not as though he had received the Holy Ghost. I'll say it like that. It looked like he had received the Holy Ghost here and God was with him and he couldn't be stopped and he won battle after battle after battle, this and that, and then once he started making mistakes, the anointing left. That's right. And we're going to see those times very shortly. Absolutely. Now, 2 Samuel 22. Now, let's look at the rest of David's life, how he takes this in. I'm going to hurry up in here. I know I'm taking a while here. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. And David Now remember, this is after our brother Cam just preached this, the four horse riders, the four giants, directly after this. He took out Big Boy, and then he takes out four more big boys, right? And after these four in a row, Goliath and then his four brothers, four in a row. After these four, one after the other. Verse 1 of 22, and David spake unto the Lord, the God, the words of this song. He actually sings. In the day that the Lord hath delivered me, him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord, or the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and my horn and my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Absolutely. So he recognized who the anointing was, or who the shield was God himself. Absolutely. And we see how he put that in Scripture, knowing that it was the shield. Absolutely. And they know who the shield was. Amen. Now, let's go to Psalms 3. We're wrapping up here. Psalms 3. Just a little Bible study. Just want to see what the Scripture has opened up to us. Psalms 3, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many that rise up against me. Many there be, say of the Lord, or which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up my head. Absolutely. So he always said, every time you save me, God, you save me because why? You are my shield. Absolutely. Let's go to Psalms 28. And then right here, David admits, you know, Christ is the shield, but then he goes on and reveals a little more here in chapter 28, Psalms 28, verse 7. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. I have helped. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed. Absolutely. So if you know you are anointed, and if you have the anointed one in you, you will be saved. Absolutely. That's right. Psalms 84. Praise God. Amen. Psalms 84, verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look unto the face of thine anointed. Absolutely. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Absolutely. So here, the shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. Amen. Now, let's go to Ephesians 6. Wrapping up. There's a couple more here. Ephesians 6. Hope was a little blessing to you. Just a little Bible study. Ephesians 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. He's talking about battle again, talking about war. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world. 13, wherefore take on the whole armor of God, right? Verse 16, notice how the Holy Ghost, above all, take the shield of faith. Amen. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, so how does, I'll say this, how does one die? You can backslide, but how do you die? Be hit by a couple of these fiery darts, right? And then you're a wounded soldier. You're down. You're a little bit depressed, right? And then, but what really kills you? Is it the fiery darts that kill you? It was said that Saul actually took the word of God and slew himself. I'm a nobody. I failed here. And when, after you, that's why you need that shield. Because if you cannot get down on yourself and all you see is the grace of God, if you have that faith and you know you didn't do that, even though you just did, you didn't do it. That's right. If you have that shield and stops the fire darts, you'll not be killing yourself with the word of God. That's right on. Absolutely. So how does one die? You actually have to finish yourself off. That's absolutely. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. And we know in Hebrews 11:6 says what? It is impossible to please God without faith, or without what? The shield. So what is the shield? Faith. What? In the word of God. Amen. That's right. So Brother Cam, we'll probably have you come on up by the grace of God. Just a little Bible study. We know in Matthew 25, the wise have oil, the foolish do not. And we know what? That the foolish virgin, or it's like this, Saul was cast and taken away out of the, or the kingdom was stripped from because what? Of disobedience. And what? The Holy Ghost, what? Shall be given to those that obey him. Why do not the holy these foolish virgins receive the ghost? Because they do not obey Christ all the way. They do not love him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all these things. And the word of God, the commandments of God, are not hard to do. They're easy. They're something they want to do. They want to please Christ. They want to do all these things. So just a little Bible study. I hope it's a blessing to you. Just something. I waited a long time for this till 5, so... But that's, I hope it was something good to eat by the grace of God. So praise God. Just we'll have Brother Cam come up, and I don't know if he wants to sing a song or however, Brother Dave and everything. So if you need prayer or anything, whatever, our pastor's here. We'll pray with you or however it goes. So praise God. Brother Cam. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Give a little round of applause. Amen. There with the wise and foolish virgin and so forth. So very interesting. I don't need to re-preach a message, but anyway, by the grace of God, I pray that you've received as I have. Amen. And I'm really happy that that's not just a Bible study that will only come to just a few in the church. I'm glad that that's coming to everybody. Amen. So you believe that and you love God. Amen. So here we are at Horeb. A little bit dry, a little bit desert. Might seem a little bit like not everybody's standard, not everybody's found along or this or that or whatever it may be, you know, when we look at the church. But the thing comes down to it is that we have to realize that we are ordained. We are predestinated. We are chosen to walk right into this word. Amen. God has given us a strength. And you know what I find out so amazing about what Brother Simon says, and I don't know if me and him talked about this or what, but it's just been something that's been going through my mind. As even the last year, we've had, you know, a lot of people leave or a lot of people just go backslid or this or that. But you know what? When I look at all of it, you know, I'll just be honest with you. I thought in my heart one time, I said, God, what are you doing, Lord? What is the purpose? Are these people just what's going on, Lord? What are you trying to show? And, you know, I had a little spirit, maybe a little bad spirit rise up in me and say, God, well, I mean, whatever, Lord, you know. And then it just kind of come to me and just started really reeling on me is that, you know what? But how much greater would it be that God gave me the strength to stand when no one else could stand? Standing faithful in the house of God. To stand when no one else is standing. And the thought that come to me was and said, God, you know, why am I standing, God? Or why am I here? And it just come to me. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are interceding for those. And it comes down to the place that, you know what? It isn't the fact that, okay, look at I stood. I'm the only one that deserves to make it. But God, you allowed me to stand, God. So, Lord, how can I intercede for others, God? How can I stand strong? How can I bring them back, or God, or bring them into the fold if it's your family or those who haven't come to Christ, God? Oh, but God, I say, God, Lord, let me be, oh God, the one. Oh, God, if you've given me the strength to stand here, God, and you know as well as I do, a lot of times you have those thoughts go through your head, and they fight you, and they battle you, and they make you wonder, make you think. But you know what? When it comes down to the end of the day, God has anointed you to stand. God's anointed you to stand faithful in the house of God. Praise God. God has anointed you that you love the word so much that you have to come to the house of God. It grieves you when others don't come or when this or that happens. But you know what? This is about you. This is about your position with Christ. This is about you being bride, amen? And just like Abraham, who went way out of his way, because you know what? Abraham was not vexed by the conversation of those filthy individuals tearing down Lot, right? Abraham was not a recipient of that, but Abraham was a recipient of what? The walk with God. Amen. The ability to stand. Amen. I don't mean to go preaching, but I see what the word says. And I know it's been dealing with exactly where I'm at. Because you know, here's the thing. Let's do this looks like it's over. Looks like this is. What? We're ordained, church. This move is ordained. You love the Word of God, and there's a reason why you love the Word of God. There's a reason why you want more Holy Ghost, and you're fighting for it, but yet you see yourself not coming up to your measure that you want. We got to come through horror. Well, what's horror? You got to place God as your first love again. God has to become number one, which is what the restored word is to do. It is to bring you back to your first love. Don't you understand what the third pole is? Why is the third pole called the opening of the word? But we know that the opening of the word is what brings you back to your first love. Your love for the word. How can you say God is your first love if you don't love the Bible? If you don't love watching Genesis to Revelation dovetail? How can you say that? That's why the opening of the word that was sowed, because the pull attracts the attention of the rainbow trout. It draws the fish, the love for the word. Not the love for being a king or having some position or a power, but the love for the revealed word. Which is what God has done here. He has revealed the word. When he's preaching back, I'm sitting back and I'm saying, oh God, the things I've been through. And then I think in my head, I've been constant back to this. I say, oh God, I'd do it all again for this revealed word, God. Say, oh, if the church gets smaller or the church gets bigger, whatever. I don't care, because this is about the revealed word. It's showing to me Christ. No one could understand the Bible. Do you realize that? Calvin couldn't understand the Bible. Finney couldn't understand the Bible. Martin could not understand the Bible. But God comes back in this day and gives you a revealed word that opens the book. Amen. You see what they can't see. They may have had it memorized so much more substantially than you have the revelation of what it is. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glad to get that off my chest. You love God? If you don't want to love a fair with the word of God, we say, God, give me my first love again, because I need to love this word a lot more than what I love. It's just simple. I mean, are we all at a place to say, oh, I've got my first love. Oh, yeah, he's right there. He's perfect. Or can we today find ourselves at the place that, God, I love you, but I know I've got to love you a lot more than what I am right now. I want to be that everything in my life does not schedule you, but you schedule everything in my life. You want to talk about a first love? No, that's what I find ironic. You know, some of these people I look at, like even my precious sister who just lost her husband. You know what I find so amazing about all that? Did it hurt to lose a husband? Oh, I bet it hurt immensely. But the whole time I watched her, somebody asked me, well, how's she doing? I said, and I answered the brother, I said, she still inspires me. Because even with what she's going through, she's still looking at God, and that's all she thinks about is God. Her relationship with her husband didn't even compare to what she had with God. After almost 50 years of marriage. I hope she's okay with this, but by the grace of God, I hope we understand. You know, when I look at that, I say, God, that's what I want to be. I want to be so in love with God. I want my wife to be so much in love with God that she doesn't even love me on even any plane of what God is. And I am the same way. And we are the same way. Because with that being expressed, you will find the word coming of Christ in His bride. God. God, let me take this heart, God. Take this heart, God. I'm tired. I'm tired of Laodicea controlling it. I'm tired of allowing the things of this world controlling it. We say, oh, I might not be doing anything bad. But you know what? Look at how much you waste your time. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do that. And God just sits over here. Even fellowship with one another. Oh, God. You see, we're coming around. Don't worry. You know what? You know I can sit there and I can say that with an absolute confidence? Because I know what this is. I know who we are. I know it's going to be all right. We could just right now get the greatest look of despair. I know it's almost been 2 hours. I'm helping him be a long-winded preacher. But you know what? What's it all come down to? What's today coming down to? Is this really that boring when you have the word open up like that? He was anointed. It looked like he was anointed for the whole thing. And then God come around because he would not follow the word. It's just what we've been preaching. He would not follow the word. What separated him from David? David wasn't perfect at following the word either. Now this is going to branch a whole different thought, so I better be careful on myself. The only difference is David was ordained the word. Saul was not. It come down to election. Was Saul much worse than David? You look at Saul's opinion. The reason why Saul didn't kill everything and kill the king, he wanted to bring it home and kill it. He wanted to bring the best to sacrifice to God. But that wasn't the word of God. His motives might have been all right, but he just wouldn't stay with the word. But, you know, the thing is, you know what, when it come down to David, he just allowed some of those fleshly lusts. He didn't have the direct commandment from God. Right? He just seen Bathsheba and he allowed his own heart to get pulled away. Okay, I'm done. Let's stay. I'm going to keep on running this thing out. You love God? How many would like to say this morning, this afternoon, say, God, Would you be my first love, God? I can feel horrible all around. I can see things are dry. I can see that all these conditions are here, but God, the problem was just needed to make you number one, God. Now, I know how many times have we done this? Say, oh, God, I want you number one. Show me where that's a problem. Back to your first love. You ain't got him today? Back to your first love. Amen. That's what the Word of God said to you today. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Need More of You. That's just the way it's got to be. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from the start to the finish. And I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. Till there's no room left for me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from the start to the finish. And I need more of you in me. And I need more of you, yes, Lord. That's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. Till there's no room left for me. And all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from the start to the finish. And I need more of you. Well, I gotta have more. Invite Brother Dave up here, maybe sing a song or so, and just allow the children of God to be dismissed to go enjoy one another in fellowship. But let's sing that song one more time. Amen. Is there something within your heart that is craving for more God? Say, God, that craving comes from you, God. Lord, I've got so much that's got to come to you, God. I've got family, I've got friends. God, this is why I'm sticking, God, because I know, Lord, if you have me here as an Esther to these people, God. Let me be an Esther, God. I'll stand no matter what, God. But Lord, make me pleasing to you, God. Amen. Let's sing that song. And I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you, till there's no room left for me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. And I need more of you. I gotta have more of you. I gotta have more of you in me. One more time. And I need more of you. Jesus,
that's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. Till there's no room, till there's no room left for me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. And I need more of you. I gotta have more of you. I gotta have more of you in me.
Hey, let's give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know what, you sing that song, Holiness, Holiness is what I long for. Amen. Amen. And holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. And holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Take my life and take my love and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, Lord, conform it unto yours. To yours, O Lord. Righteousness, righteousness. Oh, and righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. And righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. And take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, Lord Jesus, conform it unto yours, to yours, O Lord. Brokenness and brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. And brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me. Take my life and take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it unto yours, to yours, O Lord. Faithfulness, Lord Jesus, oh, faithfulness, faithfulness, it's what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. And faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. Take my life and take my heart and form it. Take my mind and transform it. And take my will, conform it unto yours, to yours, O Lord. Charity, charity. Oh, now, oh, charity, charity is what I long for.
Charity is what I need. And charity, charity is what you want from me. Take my heart and take my heart and form it. Just take my mind, Lord, and transform it. Take my will, conform it unto yours, to yours. Sing that one more time. Take my heart. Oh, yes, and take my heart and form it. Just take my mind, Lord, and transform it. Oh, take my will, conform it unto yours, to yours, O Lord, and to yours, O Lord.